this is Honest Homeopathy, where we are empowering mamas everywhere to care for their families. The information in this podcast is to be used for educational purposes only. The suggestions here should not replace the advice of your medical doctor. I am not a physician, nor am I prescribing or making healthcare decisions for you. Welcome back to the Honest Homeopathy Podcast. I hope everyone had a great weekend, and I want to say thank you to everyone who tuned into last week's episode where we talked about the top remedies for bites and burns. I hope you took some notes and stored that remedy knowledge away in your mind for any future incidents that you or your family might have. We're going to continue our episodes of discussing a popular symptom that many people encounter and deal with, and then share some of the top remedies for that specific symptom. After that, I will share all of the remedies we have used in our own home over the past week, and lastly, I will share an easy tip that you can implement in your own home. Before I get into today's episode, I want to say a quick thank you to everyone who listens faithfully to my podcast every week. If you have any questions about this or past episodes, or if you have a homeopathy story to share, please feel free to reach out to me at honesthomeopathypodcast@gmail.com. I'm not a doctor or a certified homeopath. I'm a mama who is passionate about homeopathy and caring for my family. While using homeopathy, I've seen amazing results, and I enjoy sharing the knowledge I've learned with others. Thank you again to everyone who listens and for learning and growing with me. Okay, let's dive in. So today we are going to talk all about coughs. Oh, the dreaded cough. We are entering the winter season when many viruses are going around, and so many of them can come and go, but how often is it that the cough seems to last forever? It can linger and nag for the longest time. So today we are going to talk about some remedies to help bid those nagging coughs good riddance. Before we start, I want to make sure I'm clear that there are several remedies that can help with and be beneficial for someone suffering from a cough. My goal today is to just share a few of the top remedies that are known and proven to help. Let's begin with the top remedies that I would recommend researching to see if your cough symptom picture matches. So the first one is antimonium tart. This is a great remedy to have on hand for coughs. The type of cough that this remedy helps with is one that involves a suffocating shortness of breath, either before the cough or alternating with the cough. If you have a cough that has a lot of rattling mucus in the chest but hardly anything comes out, then antimonium tart is a great remedy to consider. This remedy also is known to help with emphysema of the elderly, and it is a helpful remedy when there is bronchitis or severe pneumonia. The lungs are overloaded with mucus. Another remedy to have on hand is Drosera. This remedy is known to help with whooping cough and coughs that take your breath away. Often the coughing attacks will come one right after the other. This is a remedy to consider in children when they might not cough at all during the day, but when their head lays down on their pillow, the coughing fits begin. Another symptom that presents with a Drosera type of cough is that the cough can be so violent that it causes the person to retch and vomit. Another remedy to consider for coughs is Epicac. Epicac is another commonly used homeopathic remedy for coughs. This remedy helps if there is a constrictive feeling in the chest and someone is struggling with breathing. The person needing this remedy will want to gasp for air, like at an open window. Another key note about the type of cough that Epicac can help with is that the phlegm is difficult to expel and a person can often feel nauseous. Number four on our list of remedies is Spongia. This is the cough remedy to have on hand if your cough is very dry. All the air passages will feel very dry and your breath might be in gasp as if someone is trying to breathe through a sponge. This is a remedy known to help with croup as well. The last remedy I want to talk about for coughs is actually a combination remedy made by boron. It is called Chestol, and it's a cold and cough syrup. It combines all of the remedies I mentioned above, as well as several others, and it has a honey base and is meant to help relieve coughs. I haven't used it personally, but have heard others praise its effectiveness. Well, there you have it, These are some of the top remedies to have on hand for coughs this season. I hope this information has been helpful and gives you more confidence in what remedies to choose when you or someone in your family comes down with a cough. I so enjoy being able to share just a small bit of information of what a remedy is capable of doing. I do hope that by listening, you are encouraged to go and study on your own and do the work to learn even more to take care of yourself and your family. Homeopathy is an investment in your health, and it's one that you won't regret. Welcome back. So we've taken some time to learn about the top remedies to have on hand for coughs. Now we are going to take an honest look at the homeopathy I've been using in my own home over the past week. So this week, it's all about my husband. I know you thought I was going to say all about my daughter, but my daughter decided to take the week off from being injured, which we were all very thankful for. The first incident with my husband involved him taking a remedy for heartburn. So he has struggled with some digestive issues this week, and because of these issues, he has experienced some heartburn. I was very proud of him because he did some research on his own to figure out what remedy to take, and he decided on Natfos. He had to take several doses, but he said each time he took a dose, he felt relief. So Natfos is a remedy that is known to help with heartburn, stomach acidity, and is a good choice if you're experiencing sour belchings, which he was. Vomiting can also be a symptom, but thankfully we didn't have any vomiting in this situation, but we were very thankful to have Natfos on hand because that definitely helped him with his heartburn. The second incident involved a sore on his head, so he asked me to look at it one day this week because he said it hurt when he touched it, and it was underneath his hair, so it was definitely a little swollen and had a red dot in the center, but I honestly wasn't sure if that little red dot was just a mole on his head that happened to be in the exact place of where this injury was. And I couldn't tell if the area that was bothering him was a bite or if it was a pimple. I just wasn't sure. So my husband has been prone to getting pimples or cysts in the past, so we just sort of watched it. The next day, he asked me to look at it again because he said it hurt constantly, like he didn't even have to touch it. When I looked at it, it was much more swollen, and I had a better look at it, and I thought maybe it really was a bite because of that little red spot. So I immediately thought of Leadum for puncture wounds. So I gave him a dose of Leadum, and we observed it some more. Another day passed, and I looked at it again, and this time, I didn't think it was a bite. I felt pretty confident that it wasn't a bite, but a very large pimple or some type of cyst. I suggested he take some silica. So silica is the remover, so it helps remove things from our body that should not be there, which can include pus, infection, things like that. So he took a dose and we waited another day. By the next day when I looked at it, it looked like it was going to pop. I know this is TMI, but it did end up popping later that day with a little assistance from my husband. And there seemed to be a substantial amount of pus that was still under the skin, so we took another dose of silica to hopefully just push the rest of that nasty out. We cleaned up the wound area where it had popped, and we continued to watch it, and then I looked at it again the next day, and the swelling and just all of that inflammation had definitely gone down. It was much, much better, so we feel like that little situation is on the mend. So once again, we are super thankful to have homeopathy in our home, from the largest injuries to the simplest things, such as a pimple on our head. It's all important. So I want everyone to know about this amazing medicine and what it's capable of. Even if it is just one household at a time, I'll continue to share homeopathy with others. Every week when I recall all of the remedies we have used and how it has helped our family, my heart just feels so grateful. I love being able to share my experiences using homeopathy with all of you and learning about this amazing medicine. I hope you find it beneficial and are encouraged as well. Before we talk about this week's holistic natural health tip, I want to remind all of my listeners that I have another homeopathy class starting the beginning of November. we will be going through Joette Calabrese's Gateway to Practical Homeopathy course. This is the course that I took at the beginning of my homeopathy journey, and it really lit a fire in me and made me passionate about learning more. It's a great class to start with to build a strong foundation in your homeopathy knowledge. Our class will begin on November 2nd and will go through the 16th. Usually when I teach the class, I do one lesson a week, but for this session, we will go through the material a little bit quicker so that we can be done before the holidays begin. We will have lessons on Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this is an online study group class, so come with your messy bun, pajamas, and your favorite beverage. And each class will be approximately 60 to 90 minutes, and I will stay after class to answer any questions you might have. I will share the knowledge I've gained from studying and using homeopathy as my family's primary source of medicine. We will cover topics such as the history of homeopathy, how remedies are made, Banerjee protocols, and so much more. If you haven't already, you will need to purchase the Gateway to Practical Homeopathy 1 study guide. I will provide the link in the show notes for you to purchase your copy. The instructor fee for my class is normally $50, but for this class, I am having a special, which I'm super excited to tell you guys about. We are having a Bring a Friend study group special. If you sign up with a friend, you each can join the class for just $25. This means you will receive 5 homeopathy lessons for just $5 a piece. Plus, you will get to study with a friend and already have homeopathy community. It doesn't get any better than that. I would love to have as many of my listeners as are interested to join the class. So if you would like more info, please email me at honesthomeopathypodcast@gmail.com. I will send you all the details so you can get started. Homeopathy is a medicine that is safe, effective, and has zero side effects. This is something that allopathic medicine cannot claim. It has the ability to uproot conditions rather than simply masking symptoms, and having the knowledge of this amazing medicine makes an individual feel empowered to take their health care into their own hands, which is where it should be. This is what I want for you, to learn more about homeopathy and feel empowered. Again, classes will begin November 2nd, so be sure to sign up now and reserve your spot. Email me at honesthomeopathypodcast@gmail.com. I hope to see you there. Okay, so this week we are going to talk about a natural remedy I make at home every fall and winter to help me and my family's immune system stay as robust as possible. So this magical concoction that we love is elderberry syrup. I've been making it for years now, and today I'm going to share with you why we take it, believe in it, and what recipe we use. You may take elderberry syrup yourself, or maybe you've never heard of it, but today we are going to talk all about it. Like I said, I've known of the health benefits and have been making the syrup for years, but not until recently have I done more of a deep dive into this amazing plant. So I have been reading a book called The Elderberry Book by John Moody. I'll put a link in the show notes in case you're interested in reading it yourself. I highly recommend it. So it's a pretty quick read and it's full of tons of information. He shares the history of the plant, its anatomy, how you can plant your own backyard plants, and so much more. So I'm going to share a few interesting tidbits on this episode that I learned from his book. The history of the elder bush dates back thousands of years, so it was mentioned in many of Hippocrates' writings. The medicinal purposes of this plant are actually very vast. So the elder bush was known as the medicine chest of the country people. This was a medicinal resource that even the common people of history had access to. There is also a lot of information of how the Native Americans used this plant for a variety of purposes. Not only were the leaves and berries used medicinally, but the wooden shoots were used for musical instruments, the berries were used as a dye, even for women's hair back in the day. It really is a beautiful plant and a great one to use as part of your landscape that has a homesteading purpose as well. Elder is a bush that also grows abundantly in the wild. So if you live on some property, you might want to forage around and see if you have an elder bush. I've already decided that this coming spring, I will be planting several elderberry bushes in our own yard. There are many different varieties, but mostly are separated into two main categories, European and American. Let's talk a little bit about the health benefits of the berry. So elderberry syrup is known to help protect against and aid in overcoming colds and flus. These berries help our immune system by boosting its ability to fight off viruses. Of all the common berries, such as like blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, etc., elderberries score the highest in antioxidants. So this amazing little berry scores twice as high as blueberries in the amount of antioxidants it has. You might think that with all of these health benefits, it would be beneficial to just eat the berries straight off the bush. Well, eating the elderbush berries raw actually isn't highly recommended, although some people do it. There's some research that says that it causes upset stomachs. Usually, when consuming the berries, they are either cooked or fermented. Using elderberries to make the syrup is a great way to use part of the bush to benefit you and your family's health. Now, I'm going to share the elderberry syrup recipe that I make for me and my family. And I somewhat follow a recipe, but I do things slightly different than what the recipe calls for. So I will be sure to explain. I will include the link to the recipe in the show notes as well as any other ingredients I mention. The ingredients in the recipe I use calls for 4 cups of water, 1 cup of dried elderberries, or 1 2/3 a cup of fresh or frozen, 2 tablespoons of grated ginger, 1.5 teaspoons of cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cloves, and 1 cup of raw honey. I order my elderberries off of Amazon, so you want to make sure you order certified organic. In the future, I plan to use fresh ones once that I can get my elder bushes growing. How I personally change this recipe is that instead of the ginger and cloves, I actually put several drops of ginger and clove essential oil. I'm obviously not against using the raw spice, but I have the essential oils on hand, so I've always just used those. As you can see from the ingredients, there are many other beneficial ingredients in this recipe that help our immune system, such as raw honey and ginger. To prepare the syrup, you boil the water and add all of the other ingredients except the honey. Once the ingredients are boiling, you will reduce to simmer for about 35 minutes. You want the liquid that's in the pot to reduce about half. You will then remove from heat and cool, and then strain the elderberries out and make sure to smash and squeeze all of the goodness out of the elderberries. After the mixture is completely cooled, you can then mix in the honey. You do this in order to keep all of the beneficial bacteria in the honey alive as well. We store ours in the fridge and take a teaspoon every morning. There are varying opinions on whether you should take it every day or if skipping a few days and taking it increases immune strength. We try to remember to take it every day, and if we miss a day or two, we don't stress. It's just easier for us to stay on a routine around here. I give the teaspoon a day to my 3-year-old as well as my 17-month-old. If any of us do happen to come down with a cold or flu, we would increase our dosage in order to help fight off the virus quicker. This is a simple, holistic tip that you can implement in order to strengthen you and your family's immune system this season. It's super simple and delicious, and I call that a win. I want to thank everyone for listening to today's episode. If you have any questions about homeopathy or anything I've mentioned in today's episode, or a story you would like to share, please feel free to reach out to me at honesthomeopathypodcast@gmail.com. If you are enjoying the podcast, I encourage you to take a minute to leave a 5-star review, whether you're listening on Google, Spotify, or Apple. Your reviews really do make a difference to help share this podcast with others. Just a quick recap of today's show. Today, we talked about the top remedies for coughs: Antimonium Tart, Drosera, Ipecac, Spongia, and Chestal. Don't forget to reserve your spot in my upcoming class. And thanks so much for listening. Have a great week.
This is Honest Homeopathy. Thank you for listening. Mamas everywhere, I hope you feel empowered to care for your family. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and please leave a review. We have a new podcast coming out every Monday to help you on your journey of homeopathy. I'll see you next time.